that held us down. But now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go. And where we'll end up, I don't know.
Yeah, I really like that album.
We're
going to walk.
We're putting our heads together. We're polishing up our ass.
Everyone, welcome to the Royal Priesthood Nation. This is our pilot show. We are now broadcasting through BBS Radio. Welcome aboard to all that are listening. I'd like to introduce you to Khalif Zefnef Pahaniel. He will be your host tonight, along with Dr. Asar Hapi and myself, Aladia Hanan. And we welcome you aboard. We have a different flavor to things, and I'll let you take that away, Khalif, and explain to everyone what we're about. Hello? Anybody out there? Okay. Okay, well, I guess I'll keep talking then because I don't know where our other two hosts have went to. Khalif, are you with us? Huh. Okay. Is Dr. Hapi with us? Oh, this is not okay. This is doing weird things here, and I'm not sure why no one is speaking. And I hear a noise in the background, so this is rather interesting. Okay.
I'm right here. Can you hear me?
Now I can. I'm wondering where you went.
Well, I don't know what happened, but I was right where I was. I haven't moved.
Okay.
And I just want to thank you, and I thank all of our regular audience and those that are joining us now by way of BBS Radio, and also to the management there. We're excited about the opportunity to bring this message that we have. And we have been taking a particular message, which is temple building, and focusing on building the temple and trying to help our people in the process of ascension and raising their levels, their Christ consciousness to a level to ascend, because we're in some very exciting times and some very exciting things are going on, not only on our planet, but in the entire cosmos. And that's some very good help that's available to all of us who are in this process, who have come from one prime creator who has made us all. And so that's what this show is about, to give you information, to give you insight, and to give you details, and give you formulas, to give you processes to build a temple so that the ascension process and the Christ consciousness becomes a reality and becomes your experience, and not something that you just hear about. So we're going to try to proceed tonight in that vein. I'm thankful for my good friend and my brother, my older brother, who's a colleague, and he is a scholar, and he is a priest of the temple, and that's Dr. Asar Hapi. And I do believe, hopefully he is in the audience with us, and I want to introduce you. And my brother, how are you?
I'm excellent, Brother Khalif, and yourself?
I'm wonderful. I'm down here in this land, a little bit below you, a different latitude, but we're in the same time zone. How are things up there where you are?
Yes, yes.
They're what now? Are you there, Dr. Hapi?
I'm here.
Oh, yes.
Dr. Hapi,
how are things up there where you are?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, that's better.
Okay, we hear you.
Okay. Yeah, so it's great up here. The weather was 75 degrees today.
Wow.
The sun was shining, and it was a wonderful fall day. Wonderful.
Oh,
energy was rising, and it was quite healing.
Wow. It got extremely hot down here, and then we got some much-needed rain that kind of cooled it off. And we got wind. I didn't look at the direction that the wind was coming from. But we did get some wind that kind of cooled things off. It was extremely humid and hot. But anyway, tonight we want to, Doc, if we want to take the people into the temple tonight and talk a little bit about pineal gland activation, and I want to talk about the benefits of darkness and meditation and how to meditate in the dark, because something wonderful happens to the pineal gland in the darkness. Of course, the pineal gland's ability to secrete melanin is sunlight dependent, but actually when you go into the darkness, something happens to the pineal gland that causes it. Why are you saying wow?
I don't know.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. You said wow.
I didn't say that. Someone else did. I have to see if I can mute everyone out without muting.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Okay. There you go.
Okay. I thought I heard you say, wow. That
no, wasn't
your
me.
Okay. That's okay. So Doc and I are going to talk a little bit about pineal gland activation. And I just really wanted to focus on darkness tonight and the importance of meditation in darkness, because this actually activates the pineal gland, and the Bible really talks a lot about darkness as a positive thing. And so I want to give you some scriptures out of the Bible, since this is the Royal Priesthood Bible and Fellowship Line, and I'm going to run across a couple of these to try to help you to understand that the Bible does address this issue. And let me say parenthetically that there are two people that I want to lift to your attention tonight that talked about the pineal gland. Of course, Jacob talked about it in the 32nd chapter of the book of Genesis, somewhere around the 30th verse, when he says he saw God face to face, and he named that place Peniel. And he said, in this encounter that he had had with the Most High, he says that his life had been preserved. Whatever transacted, whatever went on, whatever happened, and the name pineal is a clue to us. It's spelled a little differently from the way we spell pineal, but it is actually the same language, or the same word, rather, because there were no vowels in that language, so you only had the P-N-L. So pineal gland is what is in focus in the Bible when Jacob says that he saw God face to face, and he named the place Peniel, or Peniel, P-E-N-I-E-L, Peniel, because he said, I have seen God face to face, and my life has been preserved. Now, the other person that talks about the Peniel gland, of course, is the Christ in the New Testament. In the sixth chapter of the book of Matthew, he talks about the pineal gland. He says the light of the body is the eye, the eye, the eye. And he says if your eye be single, your whole body is full of light. Now, this is beautiful. This is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful metaphor of your body parts, talking about it because the body is under consideration because Christ says, the light of the body, B-O-D-Y, is the eye. And if your eye be single, your entire body is full of light. And light, of course, is a metaphor for life, for energy, for power. And your whole body can be full of this. So the pineal gland, the single eye, is addressed by two people that I've just raised to you. Now, there's something interesting that happens with this pineal gland. It is, as I said earlier, stimulated by its ability to secrete melanin, stimulated by sunlight, and the sun that radiates full color spectrum light, full of spectrum, striking the eye's retina nerve, stimulates the pineal gland to secrete melanin. Then melanin turns into serotonin or serotonin hormone and into melatonin hormone. Now, those two hormones are very, very important. I want you to understand that those two hormones are very, very important because there are scientific studies that are going out now that talk about the properties and the powers of melatonin and the medicinal healing regenerative properties of melatonin to regulate your body's clock, to even deal with certain diseases such as cancer and such as Parkinson's disease and Hunter's disease, and many other diseases that they're discovering now in this gland that they didn't know very much about, that there wasn't very much talk about this in previous, I would say, decades concerning the pineal glands and its ability and its properties and its function as far as the human body is concerned. But now there's just a lot of information out there. And so the Bible, strangely enough, it's talking about this centuries before science and technology catches up with it. So science and technology and the experts are finally catching up with what was already in the Bible, as we've already stated. Now, what I want to say tonight is that the darkness is a very necessary part. Now, I'm going to tell you some things that are spiritual, and then I'm going to tell you some things that are scientific, and I'll try to be orderly and succinct without losing the strength and force that you may gain and understand. Now, your meditation, you can, when you meditate, of course, the Bible says, blessed is the man that meditates day and night. He will be like a tree. Now, watch the metaphor there. Planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaves don't wither, and whatever he does prospers. Now, that metaphor, man is compared to a tree. Tree, man is not a tree. A tree is not a man, but it's a metaphor. And there's a principle that you have to understand, and the principle is tied in to the fact that if you meditate, now prosperity and your health and your wealth is all tied into this meditation in that particular verse. It says, blessed is a man that meditates day and night. Now, how do you meditate? Well, this is how you do it. You can meditate on the beach. You can meditate in a park. You can meditate on the mountaintop. You can meditate in various places, but the best place to meditate in order to allow this pineal gland to really become active, guess what, is in the darkness. Because something wonderful happens when you meditate in the dark. Now, how do you go in the dark? Well, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, he says, when you pray, he said, go into your closet. You remember we did this Elijah, we did this when our prayer wheel, when we activated our prayer wheel, we had people closing their eyes. And by closing their eyes, the two eyes, when you close your two eyes, your single eye or your one eye that's in the very geometric center of your brain, of your body, of your temple, begins to activate. So when you close the two eyes, which is voluntary, you voluntarily close those two eyes, which stimulates or activates that single eye. So meditation, your meditation must be in the dark. And I'm going to read to you some things from the Bible, then I'll read to you something from the science community to support this, and then I'll be finished. Okay, so the meditation in the dark, darkness, you can meditate, as I say, in various ways. You can meditate when you're jogging in the park, but the only thing is that the melatonin will not flow. You don't get the healing of the melatonin. So if you really want the melatonin to flow from the pineal gland, it requires an absence of light, which means that you have to go into the darkness. You have to go into the darkness because your body has a clock, and so it appears that the pineal gland of the brain is suppressed in light, and it appears that it's not active in light. So in order to make it active, you have to go in the dark. Now, this is what the Bible says. Now, listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says in Isaiah 42 and 16, he says, I will bring the blind by a way that they know not, that they knew not, excuse me. And I will lead them in paths that they have not known. And I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. That's Isaiah 42 and 16. Listen to Isaiah 45 and 3. Now, I really love this one. It says, and I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. I really love that. And what is he talking about here? He's talking about inside the temple. He's talking about the wonderful medicinal regenerative powers of the temple when this precious melatonin that is produced by melanin that comes from the pineal gland is secreted when one goes into the dark. Now listen to Micah 7 and 8. These are Old Testament passages, what we call Old Testament passages. It says, when I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, and watch this, Yahweh shall be a light to me. And then Matthew in the New Testament, or what we call the New Testament, Matthew 4 and 16, he says, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light. So here again, light being a metaphor of life, energy, regenerative properties, light being a metaphor. If your eye be single, your whole body is full of light. Light being a symbol of health. Light being a symbol of vigor, of energy, vitality. So here again, we see that this pineal gland and this light has much to do with you going in to the darkness. Now, that's from a biblical standpoint. What does the scientific community say about it? Well, I did a little research. There are many different, we could go to the New York Times and we can look at some of the leading biologists and physicists and look at some of the geneticists and some of their studies. But I've chosen one in particular, and this is a book that I usually recommend. We've covered this before. And the title of this book is Melatonin, Breakthrough Discoveries That Can Help You Combat Aging, Boost Your Immune System, Reduce Risk of Cancer, Heart Disease, and Even Get a Better Night's Sleep. And this is Russell J. Reiter, I hope I'm not mispronouncing his name, but it's R-E-I-T-E-R, Ph.D., and Joe Robinson. And these people are from the San Antonio Institute, Health Institute there in San Antonio, Texas. And they've done some extensive studies on this. It's the University of Texas Health and Science Center at San Antonio. Now, let me tell you what they said about darkness and this subject that we're talking about. It's very, very, very interesting, and I'll just read a portion of this to you, and I'll try to stop. There's a section in here that deals with when we deprive ourselves of darkness or the circadian rhythm. We need both. We need light, but we also need the darkness. So if you're sleeping in a room and there's light or there's electrical emissions, so the moment that your eyes see the light, the two eyes that you have, then the pineal gland ceases to operate. So but when you close off all light and it becomes completely dark, then your single eye begins to secrete this wonderful hormone, this wonderful, well, actually melanin is a molecule, and melanin produces these hormones that we're talking about, a serotonin, a serotonin, and melatonin. Now, here's what they say at San Antonio. Say, when night comes, it's important that we retreat from the light and embrace the healing powers of darkness. Darkness conditions allow our pineal gland to produce melatonin, triggering a much-needed time of rest and repair. Unfortunately, to the same degree that we are light-deprived during the daytime, we are darkness-deprived at night. When the sun sets and we turn on lights, shrinking the night to 7 or 8 hours we spend sleeping. Illuminating the daytime, we make our lives more pleasurable and productive, but we pay a hidden price. And what is that price? We deprive ourselves of a significant portion of our natural supply of melatonin. And this is what they are talking about at the University of San Antonio. And it gets into sleep deprivation. It depletes your supply of melatonin. And what happens when you deplete your supply of melatonin? Well, of course, your cells don't regenerate. You don't have the energy. You don't have the vitality. And Dr. Asa Hapi can talk to you tonight. And he's, I'm going to surrender for a moment and let him come in and talk to you just for a moment about how your body is really built and designed to continually regenerate itself. It was designed to keep on going and regenerate itself. And by the way, I finally got a chance, Aladia, to see Lucy yesterday. And I don't want to preempt the movie and destroy it for anybody, but I don't normally recommend going to see any movies. But Lucy's movie, the movie Lucy, it encapsulates, it really summarizes, it is the epitome of what we've been talking about in terms of the possibility and the prospects and the potential that we all have to activate our right brains and to become this being that the Most High created us to be. It is my goal. It is my intent. It is my purpose to become that myself and to help as many as I can to become that Lucy, but without the attitude, of course. Lucy had a tremendous attitude. But nonetheless, the movie itself really talks about the potential of the human, of the experience, the beings we are created to be, and the power that we were intended to have. And this process that we're talking to you tonight about is a process that helps you to activate that 90% of your right brain that's in your temple, that's dormant, that you have not accessed. And Dr. Asa Hapi can now tell you that your temple was designed initially to be on a perpetual, continual, regenerative, renewing kind of process. It will do it, but we have to obey cosmic law. Dr. Hapi, why don't you jump in and talk to us a little bit about what we're talking about tonight?
Okay. Thank you, Khalif. I enjoyed the understanding of what you shared with the pineal gland and how important it is to be activated, as well as understanding that when the pineal gland is activated, the power that comes from there in our healing is stimulated in relationship to also the brain waves, that when we move to this point in which we're activating the pineal gland and stimulating the melatonin, we're also activating the alpha state in our sleep. We slow down the brain. We move it from the beta to the alpha, in which the brain wave can slow down, and we shift our nervous system to the parasympathetic nervous system, which is a nervous system that helps us to heal, and that nervous system is supposed to be stimulated every evening and have the influence by the moon, just like in the daytime when we wake up because the sun is stimulating the sympathetic nervous system, causing the serotonin to be activated by light, causing us to have that sense of well-being, that sense of feeling good in the morning, feeling refreshed. So the opportunity that we all have as temple builders is that this body has everything in order to continue to regenerate us, that as we gain the time of life, the breath that we had when we were 20, that breath, the power of that breath should be multiplied five times by the time we get into our 60s. We should have a stronger power in our breath to regenerate us more than when we were 20 years old. So if we look at the average person by the time they step into their 60s and 70s, the breath has declined in its power. So therefore, the nervous system has declined, and therefore the healing powers that we had when we were 20 declined. So therefore, then our organs decline and our systems decline and our bodies start to move in the pendulum toward the decline of life. And so therefore we move into the sufferings of life, because the power itself that came from the generation of life itself that came from the breath started to decline because no one taught us that the breath was actually supposed to get more powerful. Usually when we move into the latter part of life, as we move into our 50s and 60s and we start going to see the doctor, and whenever we go see the doctor usually will have us, when he gives the exam, he'll have us breathe once, he'll have us cough once, but he does not get any deeper than that into the power of life that is supposed to be giving us more life and making us more vital. And if we get high blood pressure and we get dizzy, he'll tell us, sit down, but he still won't go into how this breath has an effect upon the heart, how it has an effect upon the nervous system, how it has an effect upon our skeleton muscular system, how it even have an effect upon the stress that come upon us, and that by learning how to control this breath, we can release the stress that causes our heart to increase its impulse, which would cause anxiety, or cause anxiety to our liver if we gain anger, how that could cause anxiety to the liver, or if we gain fear, how that can cause anxiety to the kidneys, or even as we gain worry, how it can cause anxiety to the pancreas, and how our breathing can help to relieve all this anxiety in our different organs due to the emotions that we are affected by from the situations that we go through. So this breath has an emotional, mental, and physical counterpart whereby it can help to alleviate the emotional stress, the physical stress, and the mental stress. And how this breath, once we learn how to control it, how we can have a phenomenal effect upon our health and improve our health to greater levels than what our expectation could ever realize. Having worked with people in their 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, I've seen the power of this breath even bring people off canes and have people restore their physical power as if their physical is now moving like a 25 and 35-year-old. I've seen that kind of power that can come from this breath, that can strengthen the heart, and that can improve the nervous system, and that can improve the person, whereby the person can actually get better as they move through time. So we look at ourselves, and we're given a projection. The projection is that the average one of us should have health problems somewhere between 50 and 70, or between 45 and 70 years old. We should have some health problems. We should have high blood pressure. We should have diabetes. We should have kidney problems. We should have high cholesterol. We should have arthritis. And possibly we should probably have cancer. And that by the time of 45 to 70, we should be dying off. That most of us, by the time we get 70, we should be in a very declined state of health, and we should be either sitting in a nursing home somewhere, wasting life away, or we should be somewhere whereby we have Alzheimer's, and so the mental has declined to a degree, or the physical has declined, and we've lost a great amount of our ability to have a higher level of well-being. Breath has the ability to bring us to a level that we cannot even imagine. Here in Chicago, we've worked with this understanding of this power in the breath, and we've taken from athletes who were in their 30s and in the prime of their athletic life and restored their power back to that of rookies, whereby now they're in the Hall of Fame, to people who were in their 60s who were starting to decline, whereby now their bodies are like a Hercules, their bodies where they can lift 500 pounds, and now they're in their 80s, but their body is vital like a 50 or 45-year-old. And then we've taken 80-year-olds who were on canes, and we saw the power come back where they could give up the cane and move like a 40-year-old, but have the strength greater than even when they were 25. All this without even exercising, just by working with this power in this breath and teaching people how to connect to this potential energy, and then over a period of time see these people health restored to a level that they had never imagined they could be able to restore to. And so we've been seeing this over the period of now over 20 years. 20 years we've been working with this, and in 20 years we've seen phenomenal after phenomenal happen as people step into the temple building that we speak about, that the body is the temple, is the sanctuary that houses the spirit that we all are, and that within this sanctuary we have the opportunity to make the sanctuary vital and to make it more vital than it's ever been. So this particular concept dealing with this breath, dealing with this power that we know so little about, and that it has such high potential to bring us to a level that we've never experienced, that in temple building, this is what we expose you to, this opportunity to experience how can be improved and how amazing it demonstrates, or how amazing it shows when you go through this experience. When we had the event over a month ago at the gate.
Oh, okay.
Yes, at Moriah Gatehouse, the gateway, people had a chance to experience this concept that we deal with the breath. They had a chance to experience how powerful it was, and we had great testimonies come from that. If you can imagine, let's say you're in your 50s, in your 60s, or even in your 70s, and that your body could start restoring itself into that greater level that you had when you were in your 40s and your 30s. Imagine this could happen without you going into the gym and sweating up a lot of sweat and possibly almost passing out, that your body could come back to levels of vitality that you had not experienced in years. And so this work is the work that the temple building is the process that we utilize. And in the temple, that we take everybody in through a process in which people learn the knowledge and experience the vitality that is their God-given right to experience. And that this particular concept is a concept that we feel everyone should have, as well as everyone should have the opportunity to have a higher consciousness as they develop their body temples into levels that it's never been. And so this is the work that we're doing, and this is the work that we look forward to exposing you to, and this is the work that we look forward to the phenomenal of it happening for you as it has been happening for us.
That is absolutely amazing, Doc. You know, you mentioned a couple of things that I just wanted to tag into about brainwaves and breath and the connection that exists between those. And you mentioned some emotions that exist inside of the beta waves of our brainwave, beta brainwaves, which are the negative emotions like anger and worry, anxiety, all of those. Jealousy is actually one that is of beta waves. We have to move from there, and this is the purpose of meditation, so that we move from these brain waves into alpha waves, and then even from alpha waves into theta waves, which are more powerful, and even from theta waves into delta waves. Now, delta waves are the fastest moving brain waves that we can have, and they are the most powerful, but they are... they touch more of the codon or the codes inside of our DNA than the other brain waves. The slower looping sort of like waves that if you were making a graph and you would make it loop and you would miss, say, codes or points if you had a graph and you would miss those points. Well, those points represent the codes that are inside of your DNA. And we have, I think we're touching about 20. But if you, through meditation and through this breath, which helps you get to meditation and get to these particular brain waves, you touch more of your DNA codes. And I wanted to talk about that a little bit because we did, Doc, we had some testimonies that came. You didn't hear last week. One of the brothers, my younger brother, whom I grew up with, he talked about some wonderful things. We had people that were reducing their medication, their high blood pressure medication from every day to once a week. And he gave a testimony about some of the people that were in his church that were elderly people that are getting spry, vitality, they're getting spring in their steps, vim in their limbs and vitality and pep in their steps. And he's excited about what he learned in our event. And he even talked about condition of his hands. His hands were very, very rough. He said his hands are smoothing out. Just simply through this breathing technique that you taught him while we were here in this macabre event. So brain waves and breaths are very important in terms of taking us to meditation. Breathing takes us to meditation. Of course, we are talking about the darkness. And the breathing takes us to the right brain wave. And those right brain waves touch our DNA. Now, I want to give you one other principle here, and maybe Aladia could come in on this. She knows about this. And I want to tell you about a principle, since we talked about Lucy, and Lucy activating the 90% of her brain cells. Now, this is your temple. One of the tragedies that we don't talk about in religion is that they never tell us about the temple. And inside of religion and inside of churches, the Bible itself tells you that your body is a temple. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 19, it says, what? Know you not that your body is a temple? 1 Corinthians 3:16 tells you, you are the temple of God. Acts 7:22 says that the Most High does not dwell in temples that are made with hands. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 7 and 8 tells you, verse 7 tells you that temple that Solomon built was not built. There was no sound of any tool, no sound of any hammer or saw or any kind of tool that was used in the construction of Solomon's temple. Sounds miraculous, doesn't it? How do you construct an elaborate architectural structure that causes the world to come to see it, and yet there's no sound of any tool, no tap, no team, no hammer going, not even a tap of anything. Well, what that is talking about, really, actually, is really, it is a beautiful picture to tell you how your human body temple was constructed. There were no contractors, there were no tools used in the construction and the seminal essence of a chromosomal pool as you began to develop, as you came into this world, as you were conceived and began to develop as a fetus inside of your mother's womb, and you grew. There was no sound. There was no human instruments. Now, what I wanted to say about the breathing technique and give you a principle, and Alaya can talk about this, is a principle to activate that right brain, 90% dormant. Now, it's process. It may happen in crises, but it also happens in process. In the movie Lucy, it did not happen all at once. It happened in process. There was some drugs placed inside of her, and this particular drug, I forget the acronym, maybe some of you can help me with that, but it's a drug that happens when the baby is inside of the mother's uterus, and it happens at a certain period of gestation there, and this particular drug that is produced naturally in the body causes the bones to grow, causes the cells to grow, and all of that. This wonderful drug that is produced naturally in the body, what we want to deal with in terms of this potential of right brain activation that caused her right brain to be activated progressively. I want to give you a principle that can help you, and it's a breathing principle. And the principle is alternating cerebral dominance. Now, what do I mean when I say that? Alternating cerebral dominance, of course, the right brain controls the left side of your body and the left brain controls the right side of your body. So if you take your finger and close off your right nostril and breathe through your left nostril, then it will stimulate the amperage in the EEG brain waves of your right brain because the left nostril is tied to the right brain. So if you take that principle, and there are some other higher techniques and disciplines that Dr. Asar can talk to you about, and in terms of breath and how many breaths you have to get up to, but you have to be taught this because without properly being taught, you could really pass out, you could stroke out, some things could happen to you. If you don't know how, if you're not taught by a master how to go in the temple and to create this fire, because you're dealing with holy fire. But here's a principle that you can use. If you close off the right nostril, God breathed into the nostril of man the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Now, in alternating cerebral dominance, when you close off one side, say for an example, the right side, and you only take breaths through your left nostril, it stimulates the amperage or the brain waves, EEGs, in the right brain. So you're increasing the voltage. You're increasing the power. So, Elijah, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, I can give my own testimony of what's happened for me since the events there at the Stargate Moriah location. I always have had great blood pressure anyway, but I went to the doctor a couple weeks ago, and my blood pressure went down from 117 over 72. It's now down to 110 over 69, and I'm losing weight. Appetite is, I've made more healthy choices now of eating salads and stuff like that. I do no sugar or white flour, and I have always been addicted to that stuff, so it wasn't like I made a conscious effort. It's through these breathing techniques and everything we learned with the sun gazing there, and proper ways to meditate. It's kind of like a, like you said, a process. But the body begins to naturally know what's good for it and what's not. And it puts you more in tune with the right-sided brain. I'm really excited about this, and I've only been doing it for a couple of months, and my energy level has went up tremendously. So that's my testimony. You know, basically it's about consciousness, and knowledge is consciousness. That's why they The government always tries to keep us dumbed down through the additives in our food, the fluoride in our water, and that will calcify your pineal gland. And that's exactly what they want, because that's your connection to Creator, creation. That's about all I have to say on that right now.
Well, I think that's quite a bit, but, you know, you talked about consciousness and some of the things that are happening in our environment that are poisoning and calcifying our pineal glands for purposes that I would have to stretch to say that the people who are doing it, whomever they may be, don't know that this is happening. I'm sure they have the same information that I do and that you do and that Dr. Harpy has. But here is a combative weapon. Here is a defense, if you will, that we have that is given to us by the Most High, and it's free. It's air, it's fire, it's darkness. Darkness is free. I mean, you can close your eyes and no one can charge you a fee or a toll for closing your eyes and activating your pineal gland and beginning to start these disciplines and becoming, as you just said, Alaya, becoming aware, consciousness of these processes is the first step. And as you become aware of this, there is an intelligence that is inside of you. This energy is not unintelligent. It's intelligent. I mean, think about it for a second. The energy that is inside of you when you fall asleep, it has the intelligence to keep your heart beating and keep your blood flowing and keep cells negotiating, neurons are constantly giving information out to your body. So this energy that we call life is intelligent. It's inside of you. No, I mean, if something is about to fly in your eye automatically closes the eyelid. This energy is intelligent. It's thinking. It's not, and you have to think about that. Now, if we were talking about this in a religious perspective and from a context of religion, we would call it the Holy Spirit, and it's intelligent. And so part of the becoming aware, part of our consciousness of this is our defense. It is the intelligence inside of us, inside of our temples, will begin to make these adjustments to help us to defend against some of these things. Now, let me see if I can just recap for a moment. Dr. Harpy has told us about breath, and he's told us about the breathing in the temple. And I've talked to you about the importance of meditation and going into the darkness. And you can, and because it stimulates the pineal gland, we talked about melatonin and serotonin or serotonin. And there's another wonderful hormone that is secreted by, and I won't get into that tonight, but it's called DMT, dimethyltryptamine. And we won't get into that tonight. But mainly the circadian rhythm of the time clock that's in your body. Your pineal gland is a clock, it's a calendar, and it's a compass. And tonight we focus on the fact that this clock and the circadian rhythm of the night and daytime cycle is a very necessary process in order for you to experience the rejuvenating, regenerative powers that the body naturally, your temple, naturally has. And there are forces that do not want you to know this information. But we are excited because we're putting on macabre events all around the country. Our next event is going to be in Georgia, in Atlanta, and it's the 8th through the 12th. And we want to encourage you to come to that event. I know it's a short notice, but you need to make your way there because there are very special forces and energies and powers that are present in our cosmos. Now the Earth is being saturated with all of these powers that are being ignored by a lot of people. That the Most High is putting out these energies in order for us to defend against all of the contaminants and the pollutants and all of the emissions, the electro. We talked about some of the things that they're doing with the water, the food, but we haven't even addressed the electro pollutants that come from cell phone towers and appliances that are in our home and man-made calibrated electronic devices that lower our frequencies in our bodies that causes us have diabetes, that causes us to have high blood pressure, that causes us to have all of these sicknesses. And sad to say, the healthcare industry is making money off of the fact that we're getting sick. And we can really fix it if we understand what we have been told here tonight. So on the 8th of October, we will be in Atlanta, Georgia area. There are people that are registering already. You should register. You can go to our website and register there at Macabre Ring of Fire.
Activation.com.
Why don't you get both websites and tell them how they can register, Elijah?
Yes, you can either go to Macabre Ring of Fire Activation.com. Just click on the banner up there that shows the event, and it'll take you right over to the registration. Or you can go to Dinar Truth Matrix. You can also find us on Facebook. And we need people. We would love for you to sign up to be a prayer warrior or meditation warrior, however you want to look at that. Because in the process of that, you learn breathing techniques and you learn how to stimulate your pineal gland. So it's a very rewarding experience, and it requires 12 minutes of your time a day. That's all. And the reward far outweighs the small amount of time. So that also is, there's a banner there on our websites and our Facebook and all that. You just click on it, and you can go sign up to be a prayer meditation warrior, too. We do that always with the Macabre events because it sets the energies. And, Khalif, I would also like for you to talk a little bit about, on October 8th, the Blood Moon and the Feast of Tabernacles and what you'll be doing with that.
Well, you know, I want to save that to next week because we're moving back into the hour, and I enjoyed that music that came on. And I want to take just a moment or two to go into the queue before we go off the air. Just to hear, I will get into the Blood Moon next week, and I will talk a little more about the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Gathering and what that means, what the etymology of all that means. I mean, of course, it's in the Bible, but the Bible is deeply tied to cosmology and to the cosmic energies and cosmic principles and what these influences and these powers mean to us. What does the moon mean, and what are these energies that will be? One of the things that you already talked about, I believe, and I've talked about, I put it on Facebook, I didn't get many hits on it, was that we are in the photon belt of Pleiades, and the gravitational, the geomagnetic sphere of the Earth, the gravitational pull is sinking and dropping. So and there are neutron star systems that where we are now that are along the galactic plane. And these are energies, and I've kind of talked about that. Now, the Blood Moon makes it very special. But I'll get back into it next week.
Okay.
I'll get back in.
Are we going to take any Q&A after we leave BBS Radio here in 2 minutes?
Again, but I want to jump back on that music that we had.
Let me put this out.
That was a show enough.
712.
Knocked out the rag out theme song. What do you feel about that, Doc? My big brother.
When I came on, I didn't get a chance to hear it because I had called in and I wasn't able to get in, and I had to come out and then call in again. And I came in on the other number. And
by that, can I put the number out, guys, before we have to go off the air with BBS Radio?
Go ahead.
712.
I'm trying to get that music back. Hey, I'm trying to get that music back on. This is my first. I've been on the radio back in the 80s. I don't necessarily have a radio voice.
together. We're polishing up our ashes. If you think I've been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
Khalif, there are still quite a few people on the line. I'm sure maybe people would like to come in and interact with you and Dr. Hafeez.